Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 23rd of February. And we are in our winter membership drive. I'm here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, it's true, listener donations really are the foundation of our budget. People think it's somebody else who gives to us, but you are the foundation of the whole shebang. That's why we're asking for your gift right now. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org. Or toll free. You can call us at 888-202-2552. Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, is joining me in our studio to give you details on our goal.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hello, Rhonda.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who called the last hour. It's one of my favorite shows here on Wisconsin Public Radio, the All Things Political. Mm-hmm. But moving on, this hour, we have a goal of $5,000. And meeting that goal... We do.
Oh.
But meeting that goal helps us make this program possible in the days, weeks, and months to come. Your contribution of $60, $120, whatever the amount you choose, you help us get there. Make your pledge now online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And we have a spectacular premium for you. I want to tell you a secret that if I were
Would you? You like the book that much?
Book is fabulous. Now,
it is beautiful.
Can't pledge this hour because this book is in our library, right? So you can look at it all the time. This is a gorgeous book. Beautiful pictures of the artwork of that took place in the New Deal, of the people, Francis Perkins and others who were important to the New Deal.
The photography of Dorothea Lange goes
gorgeous.
On.
It is very gorgeous and very important. I've already used in conversation yesterday that the Milwaukee Symphony was started because of the New Deal. I didn't know that. All the programs that were started because of the New Deal, and our guest this hour shares a great passion for this. Her mother, I don't know if she's still alive or not, is 104 years old, our guest, and lived through the Great Depression, as I'm sure many of your ancestors did as well. So the premium, I'm not sure what the amount is, but the book is The New Deal, a 75th Anniversary Celebration. Catherine Flynn will be our guest in a moment. What's the premium, Rhonda?
If you give 180 or more this hour, you can get a copy of the book.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's really a book that you look at for a long, long time. Oh, it's just good. I can't say enough. Okay, so call
and I can't give that website enough or the phone number, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. In just one moment, we'll be speaking with Catherine Flynn, co-author of The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. So please call now with your donation of 180 or more. You will receive a copy of this book this hour only.
Yes, please call right now. You know, we find that people who give to Wisconsin Public Radio, they give when they realize two things. They understand that the programming that they enjoy is listener-supported, which it is, and they realize that Wisconsin Public Radio is their primary radio station. And I'm speaking to you, I'm sure. We're telling you right now that the programming you get here is brought to you by listeners just like you, and you have to ask yourself, is this where I get most of my news, information, entertainment on the radio dial? If it is, this means that now is the time to become a member. Make your donations online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today could be one of the best things you could do with 3 minutes of your time. It's kind of like going to vote. You'll probably get that same sort of feeling, that fulfillment that comes with voting. Take a couple of minutes out of your day today. Give us a call or go online. Provide your name, your contact information, how much you would like to give. You get to choose. You put the dollar value on how much you appreciate WPR and how you would like to pay. Your gift today will become stories and programs that keep you connected to your community, to your state, to the world, all in just a couple of minutes. Make your contribution online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We've had Susan from Madison call Rhonda, who said, I just noticed how much we spend on cable. Ain't that the truth? So I decided to up my contribution. James from Menasha, I think it's a great station. I enjoy listening to people who are broad-minded. Judith from Brussels, I love WPR. I listen all the time. I'm contributing to keep the quality programming going. People who get useful information and can't live without the station. So I know that includes many of you who are listening right now. Please call with your pledge this hour, 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552.
That's right. And we do have that goal this hour of $5,000. We've already had two people call in this hour. Thank you to those. Thank you to everyone who called in the last hour. Please donate. Think about getting the copy of The New Deal for a pledge of $180 this hour. You'll not only help us in towards that overall goal of $5,000, but you'll also receive a copy of the book. Donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we will be locating our guest, we hope, in just a moment. This book, as we look at the past to learn about what's happening now, of course, there have been all kinds of references made to the New Deal and President Obama starting off on that kind of foot with massive programs. Our guest this hour, once we find her, says that more was achieved by and for Americans through the FDR era than ever before or since in our history. And when you look at what was accomplished, it is quite striking. Social Security, bank deposit insurance, widespread rural electricity, the right to form a union, whole sustainable towns, one of which is Greendale in Milwaukee right here, parks and monuments across the land, national, state, and local, are just some of the visible but often taken for granted New Deal treasures. Public buildings, fine art, post offices, courthouses, town halls, schools are still with us. There were artists who were employed during the New Deal. Their murals, paintings, and sculptures depicting who we were, what we had done historically, and where we were in our communities. These assets that we would be hard-pressed to live without. So the book has pictures of many of these, and it's quite beautiful. We'll have the public art that was created as well. So we just don't know where our guest is at the moment, so that's why I'm talking so much. But I do want to tell you that it's a great book.
And it's a great hour to pledge and help us reach that $5,000 goal. You noticed before that a lot of these programs before the New Deal were noticed but taken for granted. And I think some of us here at WPR feel the same way. How many times do you just know that you can turn on the radio dial and we're going to be there giving you the news of the day, entertaining you? But sometimes you take that for granted. All of those people that have never pledged before, maybe it's been a couple of years since you've made a pledge. Get on the phone, get online right now, and make your pledge of support. Do not take WPR for granted.
Right.
Pledge now. $180 will give you a copy of The New Deal, the 75th anniversary, for a pledge of $180 and help us reach that $5,000 goal this hour.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here because I have a feeling that there are enough people who have Depression-era stories or FDR stories to join our conversation while we're trying to find our guest. This is going to be kind of a weird hour, but that's okay. Because we do want to let you know that this book is just very valuable. We don't know where the guest is, but the book is a heck of a premium. So let's pledge the book and also just welcome your phone calls about the Depression and the era of government, and big government it was, that FDR initiated in this country back in 1933. Our number for on-air participation is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I think we can carry this off, Rhonda. We don't have any other choice, so we're just going to carry this off.
We'll get some calls. So please keep those calls coming in and support the intelligent source of news and information by donating to WPR.org or giving us a call at 888-202-2552. Put your contribution to work right away by making your pledge of support. Just takes a moment of your time, and you'll be investing in a service that keeps you informed each and every day and will continue to do so in the days and weeks and months to come. Your contribution in any amount, $20, $60, $120, provides essential support that we need here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So go now to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We hope to find Kathy Flynn soon. Kathy's mother, if she is still living, this book is pretty recent, is 104 years old, which is quite amazing, who lived through the New Deal. Some of you listening may have lived through the New Deal as well, or lived through the Great Depression. We certainly welcome your phone calls as we reminisce about this. It is our premium this hour. We just can't find our guests. So call with your reminiscences, 800-486-8655. I've thought about about this time frequently and have probably said this on the air, that I know that the Great Depression defined so many lives in this country, and we think about the hard times that we're going through right now. The Great Depression was just something, and I think about my dad. Those of you who listen to me know that I lost him last year, and he was very, very close to me, and he had a scholarship to go to Beloit College, of all places, and couldn't because his father lost his job and lost everything, and so he wound up flipping hamburgers to keep the family afloat. But people did that all over this country, and a lot of people had nothing and no money at all and no jobs, and the number of jobs created the programs, the bridges, the symphonies that were started, the artists who were given employment. It was one massive project, and this book outlines all of that with pictures that were created, with murals that were created, the artists who were given employment and flourished during the New Deal. It's quite something. So that's the pledge. The pledge of $180. We'll be happy to send you this book, The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. Catherine Flynn is, we hope, joining us pretty soon. So in the meantime, we'll just take phone calls about The New Deal and your memories. We'll have our own kind of oral history program here. Didn't expect it, but that's what happens sometimes. Let's go to Raymond from Lena. Hello, Raymond.
Hello. My story isn't a personal one. It comes more from my grandfather and my grandmother. During the Depression, they didn't have any money, and actually my mother and their parents were starving. Oh. My grandfather got a job in the CCCs. And he talked about it being very hard work and always with a lot of love, was very thankful that he was able to get food back on the table for the family.
Mm-hmm. Roosevelt's Tree Army, they called it. How many trees did they plant? I don't know what your grandfather did, but this program was quite something in what they did for the country.
Oh, definitely. More from a personal note, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be here if it wasn't from that. Because I don't know if they would have made it.
Yeah, right. What's the statistic? 5 million jobless young men, World War I veterans were worried sick. A number of the banks had closed, and the Civilian Conservation Corps was one of the parts of his substantial proposals to get the country working again. Hmm. Do you have pictures from that era?
Unfortunately, I don't. I believe my great aunt does.
Uh-huh.
She was my grandfather's sister. We keep talking about going over there, but she's in an old age home now, and unfortunately dementia is setting in.
Oh, right.
Well, so we're not sure where they are at the moment.
Right. Well, sometimes the memory becomes a little bit clearer when you're remembering that many years ago. So the stories might still be there.
Oh, interesting. I should talk to her.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, I know she doesn't. She doesn't really remember anything, any part of the family for us.
Mm-hmm.
She's also quite old.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Raymond. We have found Catherine Flynn, and she is the author, co-author of The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. She's executive director of the National New Deal Preservation Association. She's the author of Treasures on New Mexico Trails, New Deal Art and Public Artists in New Mexico. And she lives in Santa Fe. And we're so happy we have found her so we can talk about this extraordinary book and extraordinary time in American history. We'll be welcoming your phone calls again as well. Catherine, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning.
Yes. Is your mom still alive? I was so astounded to read your 104-year-old mother.
No, she died last December.
Oh, she did. At 104, Catherine?
Oh, and very lively. Very lively.
Isn't that something?
Yes, she was a pistol.
I guess she was a pistol. That's quite something. I just love this book. It is so beautifully put together.
Thank you. You got to give the publishers credit for that. Give Smith Publishers.
Yeah, the pictures, the artwork that's included in here, the migrant workers, et cetera. Just gorgeous, gorgeous.
Did you notice the picture of the migrant mother?
Yes.
And then the picture to the left, which is a number of years later, and those same four people.
Yes.
Yes, that's a real treasure.
Yeah. So I guess you, from what I read in the intro to the book, you were just driven to do this, right? You found this so absorbing that people were saying, Catherine, you need to do something else for a while. But I can understand how certain things can absorb you that much.
Yeah, I refer to it as a healthy addiction.
Yeah. And it is also good for us to be reminded of all that happened during that time, Catherine. These were massive, massive projects, and the country was massively in despair.
Absolutely. And today, they're either taken for granted or unknown. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to make more noise about them. And I appreciate you letting us be on the radio today for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. And why is it they're just taken for granted? Did we need little plaques all over the country? You know, this symphony was brought to you because of the New Deal, this park, this mural, et cetera. Do we not have enough historical references?
Oh, certainly that's the case. But it is places, like you said, like places of recreation, places of essential places like sewer systems and water systems and roads and sidewalks, in addition to, and then there's Social Security. That's kind of essential for some people with white hair or no hair. And then the FDIC at our banks. These are the kinds of things that I talk about that we take for granted. We don't know that they came out of the New Deal Roosevelt programs. I think it's significant that the first thing Roosevelt had to deal with was reopening banks and keeping them alive, and here Obama's faced with the same kind of problem.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that the New Deal informs Obama? I know he's a reader. Is he deeply immersed?
I certainly hope so. He has not talked to me about it, but I would definitely hope so. And I know he does have some people on his staff that are New Deal conscious people.
Right. I love this Francis Perkins quote, and I think that it exemplifies so many of the people, not only the spirit in the country, the people he brought with him in the cabinet, etc. Francis Perkins, Secretary of Labor, spunky gal herself. I came to serve my God, FDR, and the millions of forgotten, plain, common working men.
That's exactly what it was all about. And she was known as Madam Perkins, because I think she was sitting there around the table with Roosevelt and the other cabinet secretaries, and they were introducing one another, and then they looked at her, being the only female, and said, "What do we call you?" And she said, "Madam Perkins." She must have been a toughie. She had a husband who was mentally ill and a son to raise, and she pulled off the beginnings of the Civilian Conservation Corps and all the labor issues that needed to be taken care of at that time.
Tell me, you talk in the book about how quickly that Civilian Conservation Corps came together and how well the program was organized. For those who don't know anything about it, tell us about what exactly it did. It is phenomenal work. And how something massive as that could be organized as quickly as it was.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
3 million young boys and one female who got selected because she was, the supervisor said, well, they told me to hire an Indian, but they didn't say what gender. I think she was in Colorado. But anyway, I did visit with her before she died. 3 million young men put to work between 30, as of March 31st, the bill was enacted. And within just a few weeks, they had some in a camp in Virginia and underway. Today, they are still organized as in a nonprofit organization, and there's a little less than 3,000 of them still alive. They had to be 18 to 24, I believe. They had to weigh at least 112 pounds. Their families had to be destitute economically. They had to have no venereal diseases. And the one that I love is they also had to have 3 good masticating teeth.
I read that.
Up and down. And that tells you, number one, what condition these kids were in, these young people. There was no health. I mean, health was a major issue because, of course, people were not able to eat properly. they put them in, or lots of them got put in old World War One uniforms, and I interviewed one man who said, you know, we had to tie ropes around some of those pants because they were too big for these young boys.
Hmm.
They put them out in places in their home areas, or they shipped them off somewhere else. I mean, and some places, you know, they felt like they'd been sent to, you know, some foreign country. I mean, certainly if they were back east and got shipped to New Mexico, they would have wondered what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
They were given $30 a month, of which they got five, and the $25 went back to the family to support the family. And many of those young boys went in at a younger age than that because their families lied about their ages or went along with the lie in order to get that $25 to feed the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And they planted billions of trees in our forest, exist in our forest today. They built buildings and structures and roads and trails in our park systems. They fought forest fires. They just did any number of things that had to do with hardcore labor. In New Mexico here, we have one national monument, Bandelier National Monument, that was down in a canyon. And they actually, to get down into that canyon where there were Indian ruins, they dismantled trucks and lowered them down piece by piece.
My.
And reassembled the trucks and then built a road out.
Gosh.
So that they could start making things coming in and out so that they could build all the cabins and the visitor center and all those things. And in Grand Canyon, they did all that same kind of thing, plus one of the guys who helped us get started was responsible for, he was participating in stringing the telephone wires across the Grand Canyon.
Hmm. Hmm. And they built so many of the national, state, county, and city parks, Camp David, huge numbers of battlefields, Civil War battlefields.
Yes. Anything that needed to be done in a state that needed manual labor, you know, those guys were out there doing it.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
And they also got educations. Many of them, you know, were not had just a grade school education, so they were given educational opportunities. They were taught skills that many of them used for the rest of their life in terms of their profession or their careers.
Right. Was there any opposition? Was this a bipartisan effort to get all of these jobs up and going, Catherine?
Oh, there was. You know, nothing is ever, you know, across the board. But it's amazing that how much they pulled off, having seen Obama just go through this in the last week or so. I think they got this legislation in and out within hours, which was amazing. They just came in and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody went along with it because we were in such a terrible situation at the time.
Yeah. Let's welcome some phone calls. Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen. I consider myself so fortunate that I was raised by parents that had gone through the Depression.
Yes.
Because they taught me how to save. And I am 70 years old right now, but they taught me how to hang on to things. And my dad never told me too many stories, but my mother did, of what things were like. And there was one thing. In the height of the Depression, there was 5,000 schools that just plain closed because they didn't have enough resources to run. And at the height of the Depression, 60% of the students in the rural areas that should have been in high school weren't. There just wasn't anything at all. And I don't think a lot of times people today realize just how bad that really was.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
That's right, Catherine. People don't realize, do they?
That's right. And in addition to the CCC and talking about the schools, younger kids were also hired and worked in the schools or in their communities. I have spoken with a woman who said she was at 11 years old, was working in the school library, and got paid 10 cents a month, stacking books back in the library.
Thanks.
And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was very important to her.
Yeah. Thanks, Eugene, for the call. Barbara from Madison. Hi, Barbara.
Well, good morning. I'm now 83 years old, and And as a result of being a part of that depression, I think I'm forever frugal, and sometimes, and I think I raised, or we, my husband and I, raised children that are very independent and able to manage their money well. But what I wanted to call and tell you was that we lost our farm as a result of that depression, and I remember my dad reconfiguring his wagon so that the floorboards in it, the boards in it, were able to be opened up and release sand and gravel, because he teamed up our horses and built township roads that needed improvement then. And I had a cousin who lived with us and worked in the CCCs, and it's really a wonderful thing to be on a farm during the Depression, because you really can manage your food supply and manage to live okay. Mm-hmm. And so I want to add just one more thing. I go to the Princeton Health Club now, and I'm so grateful for that. And when I'm in the steam room with a lot of young people who are complaining, I'm talking people in their 30s and 40s, and are complaining about how tough it is. And I said to them one day recently, I said, have you had to put cardboard in your shoes recently?
Absolutely. That's
wonderful. Yeah. And that's what you had to do. Thank you so much, Barbara, for your call. We're welcoming phone calls for Catherine Flynn. She is the co-author of The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration, and it covers the Civilian Conservation Corps, the Federal Art Project, the Writers Project, the Music Project, the Theater Project, Farm Security, the National Parks, Green Towns, one of those just south of the city of Milwaukee, Rural Electric Cooperatives, the National Labor Relations Board, and also Architectural Survey, and presidential libraries, which were also started during this time period. It is amazing what was started during this time period. Plus, there are glorious pictures of the art created and reminders of the music created during this period of time. So it's a beautiful book. We're happy to present this to you for a pledge this particular hour. We thought it was, we're spending some time. These are hard times in America now, being informed by our past as we carry on with our present. Rhonda Fanning is joining me now in our studios, and our pledge we're asking for is $180. You will be very happy if you were thinking of pledging. You have a keen interest in history. You'll be very happy to know that this would be a great hour for you to pledge at $180, because we will send you, you will not be disappointed, this New Deal book filled with gorgeous art and history. 888-202-2552 is the number, or WPR.org, WPR.org. And so where are we now? We need to move up a little bit, Rhonda?
Yeah, we're inching along. That overall goal of $5,000 this hour, we're about $4,000 from that goal. But a pledge this hour at that $180 level will get you a copy of the book that Kathleen just mentioned. So that's a pledge of $180 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help us reach that hourly goal, which keeps us on track for our overall goal for the drive.
Well, yeah. 888-202-2552, WPR.org. is where you go. We're getting some interesting callers this hour, too, who lived through the Depression or their parents lived through the Depression. And so it's an appropriate time for us to talk about this issue, because it's hard times now as well. We know that if you give to WPR, you support these kinds of programs, and that many of you come to rely on us every day. We have one person who said, I have listened every day for years. Kathleen, one of the people who pledged during this hour. That's something. Every day for years. And our goal this hour is $5,000. We are moving along. We're at 940, Rhonda, so we ought to be able to get up there by 10 o'clock. So please call with your support. You want to support this program, and we'll send you that wonderful thank you gift. Donate $180 or more, and you'll receive the New Deal, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
That's right. We give money for the things we all do that are important in our lives. Mortgage, rent, food, dinner out with friends, vacation. I just had one. It's great to be back. These are all important. They add quality to our lives and build on our relationships. Think about the relationship that you have with Wisconsin Public Radio. It is a constant companion, a daily, a weekly, a monthly companion. Yep. You bring Kathleen, you bring Ben, Jean, Joy into your homes, into your car. You invite them into your lives each and every day because you want to keep this relationship, this community of listeners alive. Pledge now, 888-202-2552, or you can go online at WPR.org.
And just a reminder, it's only this hour that we're happy to send you, and it's a great book to have in your library if you have young people in your home who don't know as much as you think they ought to know about hard times, the Great Depression, or for all of us to be reminded of how this country changed, the face of this country changed as a result of the programs of the New Deal. This book outlines all of that, also beautiful, inspirational artwork in this as well. $180 just for this hour. We will be happy to send you that, and that is WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks again, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And we are continuing our conversation with Catherine Flynn. She is the author of The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. The amount of, and we need to be reminded because people will remember names that come from The New Deal but don't necessarily associate them with The New Deal. The Federal Theater Project, the Music Project, the Writers Project, the Public Art Project. We got murals. We got Studs Terkel and Woody Guthrie. And so many people who were involved in the arts who in some ways made a lasting impression on Americans, and we've known about them for years hence because of the New Deal. Right, Catherine?
Absolutely. Burt Lancaster got started in the Federal Circus.
Oh, my.
And I understand Frank Sinatra lasted about a week, maybe, in the CCC, and then he went over the hill. But Walter Matthau hung in there and gave a finger. He actually caught a finger cut off while he was in the CCC. So in his great humor, used to say something about, you know, he lost a finger for the Federal
Oh, my.
Program.
Huh.
And, of course, Orson Welles was big in the Federal Theater in New York City. And so, yes, there are lots of names of people who got started, and Studs Terkel, of course, just recently died, but was very, very involved in it, both in the radio and the Writers Project in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm. Who was the inspiration behind all of this? This was something to put place this much focus and money on the arts in this country.
Harry Hopkins was head of the WPA, and WPA first stood for Works Progress Administration, and then later when that pot ran out, then they got a new pot from the government. It was Works Projects Administration. And Holger Cahill was head of the Federal Art Project within the WPA. He was very interested in folk art and in the developing opportunities for folk art to surface and come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Nikolai Sokolov was the head of the music project. He was a symphony conductor from Cleveland, and he really promoted creating symphonies all over the nation. I think there were over 30 or more that were created, like the Oklahoma Symphony, the Utah Symphony.
The Milwaukee Symphony.
All of these. In fact, I have a list of them all, and I'd love to find out more about each one of them. I'm sure most of them don't know that that's how they got started.
Right.
The Writers' Projects, of course, were an amazing thing that they put so many people to work, both writers like Studs Terkel, Eudora Welty, and then other people that were not necessarily known writers, which was the case in any one of those projects. You had those that were professionals, and you had those that were hired on to make it happen because you needed to hire more people, and there was volumes of things to be done. The Writers Project did books all over the nation. They created a state writer's guidebook. They put people out on the roads, and they recorded what was in this town, what was on this road, and those books are still available, and in some states they have been printed. I think in the book it lists which states have reprinted their books. And they also published these guidebooks for some of the large towns like Chicago and New York City and Washington, D.C. I have a copy of the Washington, D.C. book, and it's about 3 inches thick. And Dallas. So this was a way of employing writers.
Right.
People who could go out and survey and find information.
Yeah.
There was also in the art project, there was something called the Index of American Design, and they tried to have artists do renditions from their state that were typical of the art of that state, like Pennsylvania Dutch art. Here in New Mexico, they did a lot of the Spanish colonial designs that could be found in the Catholic churches and in the villages. And those are all collected and in the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And all of these materials that were created, I mean, like collections of composers, collection of musicians all over the nation. They're in the Folklife Center of the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And also in the National Archives.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some more callers. Randy from Madison. Hi, Randy.
Hi, that's Brandy with a B.
Oh, hi, Brandy.
Hi. Well, I'm very interested in your program, and I'm calling from Madison. I was just going to mention there are two elementary schools that I know of that were built by the WPA with beautiful tile, and they do have a plaque, at least the one near here does, called, Lapham Elementary. But the main reason I was calling was to sort of give a reminiscence of my dad, who's since passed away, but he was employed by the CCC, and he was a farm boy from Minnesota, and he had graduated from high school early. He was a big, strapping Scandinavian, and they did lie about his age. He ended up in Yellowstone, and he used to tell us in the 50s when we were kids all about his experiences there and how they harvested trees using horses and, you know, how they ate moose meat and killed, and they had bear meat, and it was just the most amazing thing. So I'm sure that the fact that he was able to send that money home had helped the family out quite a bit, you know, because they were, you know, farmers, and certainly they had their gardens and what have you, but probably were depending on him quite a bit. It was quite a formative experience for him. He was able for the first time to mingle with people that from different walks of life and experience some big city people as ethnicities that he wasn't familiar with, like Italians and what have you. So we would always listen with rapt attention, living in our little suburban world there and envisioning Dad the lumberjack. So I just wanted to recall that describe it to the listeners.
Yeah,
Randy,
thank you.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the things I was going to mention, that the exposure to people from other parts of the world and learning to live with them side by side carried through in their lives, and they all have said how important that was to them, too.
Mm-hmm. Was this with the CCC, do you write about this, that 10% of the positions were for African Americans?
Yes, there were some camps that were strictly African Americans. I can't think of the one, but it's in Ohio.
Huh.
But those, that was a situation where there was still segregation.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much, Randy, for the call. Let's go to Harvey next from Amory. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Kathleen. Say, I would like to just mention a couple things on the CCC. Jim Halperin and I traveled around the state putting in the Wisconsin Conservation Corps in 1983.
Uh-huh.
And 20 years and wouldn't be a bad project to do, and I hope that the Obama administration will do a national service project to harness all this energy of young people around the country. But so many of the things happen. We had an artist named Rudy Wendelin, whose major fame was that he created Smokey Bear, however, I don't know if it's Smokey the Bear, but anyway, Smokey, who traveled around the state with me with an art show that he had done where he had been assigned to Wisconsin to paint the WCCC or the CCC workers as they were all of the different tasks that they were doing in the state. And he had hundreds of watercolors that were just beautiful. We had an exhibit at the Capitol. But your the author, I would like to recommend if she could look up Rudy Wendelin, W-E-N-D-E-L-I-N, with the National Forest Service, I think is where the repository is in Washington, D.C., but a tremendous artist, and that would be worthy of a book. And the final thing I want to mention is that David Obey was in town last Friday here in Amory, and $50 million was set aside at his request in the stimulus bill for artists.
Oh, really?
In the country for the national arts, and he talked about the role of that you've been talking about with the depression, and how economically he said artists are important to people economically, and when people decide that they can do without art, those jobs are paying as many taxes as any other job that that people have in the area. So if it'll produce a Langston Hughes or any number of great people who came out of that. And then just finally, I want to mention that people should read Let Us Now Praise Famous Men.
Oh, it's my favorite book, Harvey. Oh,
by James A.G. And the photos by Walker Evans.
Yes, yes.
It is just brilliant, and I'd like to finally get your book and make a pledge of $180. It sounds like a great
all right.
book and everything. So,
oh,
thank
Harvey.
You, Kathleen.
Thanks,
You've had
Harvey.
A great morning all together with Gwen Ifill and with your guests now.
So, thank
well,
you, Harvey.
I hope you'll stay in touch with us at newdeal@cybermesa.com.
newdeal@cybermesa.com. Okay.
And then, of course, the website, check it out, is www.newdeallegacy.org. We'd love to be in touch with you.
Yes, Harvey, by all
because
means.
Because I've got Smokey Bear people here to work with us, and we'll sure pursue that one.
Wonderful. Thank you, Harvey. I've known Harvey for many, many years and haven't heard from him in a long time. That was a great call. Thanks for calling, Harvey. And I wasn't aware it's a big bill that Obi had put $50 million in for arts in this project. It's That's good news, isn't it, Catherine?
Yeah, but did he say million or I wrote down 50,000.
I thought he said million. I wrote down million.
Let's
he
go
said million.
For million.
Let's go for million.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. And Harvey, thank you for saying you're going to pledge. You'll have to call another number to pledge. I may as well use this opportunity. That pledge number is 888-202-2552. Catherine Flynn is our guest, and she is the author of The New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Radio does what other media rarely accomplish. Radio ignites imagination and invites introspection. Radio is with you throughout every day. NPR is radio. NPR takes you there.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio.
We'll take one more call for Catherine. It's Bill from Madison. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Kathleen. This is a great program.
Thank you, Bill.
Just a few comments about the CCC in Wisconsin. There were many, many camps throughout the state. And some of the young men who were in the CCC later said in life that it was one of the best experiences of their young lives.
Yes, yes.
They did some great work in some of our state parks that can still be seen at Copper Falls, Devil's Lake, and Peninsula.
Mm.
And in doing some research for a book on the history of Peninsula State Park, I found out that there were over 200 boys, as they were called, who stayed in the camp. There was a camp newspaper, a camp radio station, and they actually lived in World War I surplus tents for the first year, and that included living during the winter until the barracks-like buildings could be built. But then a controversy arose because there was a large girls' camp in the park, Camp Monaga. And, of course, Peninsula always had a lot of campers. Some of the campers would bring their teenage daughters along. And some of the fathers were very, very concerned about these young men being in the park. And they and some of the representatives of the local tourist industry applied enough pressure to have the camp closed down in 2 years.
Oh, Bill. You be in touch with us when your book is done.
It's already done.
Oh, Bill, send us info.
Press. Yeah.
UW, please send us information. That'd be a great show.
Sure.
Okay.
Great. And one final thing. There's a great article in today's State Journal about the CCC and the WPA.
Oh, well, thank you. We'll go there. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks
very much for the call. Catherine, thank you for the book. It is just a beauty. I'm so glad you did it. Thank you.
Well, and I would just want to everyone to be aware that there are about 49 or 50 statues of CCC workers across the nation. The boys would love to have more in every state.
Right.
And we just put up two in New Mexico, and they're all going up other places. So.
Wonderful. Thank you, Catherine, so much for being with us and for all the work. This is an important book and a beautiful book for those of you who want to be reminded, maybe didn't know as much as you. Oh, I want to know more about the art that came from the New Deal or the jobs or the spirit of all that was happening in this country back in the 30s. This is the book to get. I would pledge if I didn't already have the book. I would pledge now. 888-202-2552-WPR.org. And the callers were terrific, Rhonda. We just had great callers, too. We learned more about the stimulus bill. And
for a pledge of $180,
yes.
You can keep this conversation going.
All right.
We have a goal this hour of $5,000, and we still have $3,000 yet to raise. Since Wisconsin Public Radio is listening and supported, your pledge helps make this program possible. So please go to the phone, go to your computer, contribute now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. $180 is going to get you a copy of this book. Perhaps it is for you. You can keep this conversation going in your memories of the New Deal. Perhaps
right.
You want to give it as a gift to someone who did not grow up and did not know about the Great Depression and wants to put in what's happening right now with our economy in some sort of historical perspective. There's been a lot of lines drawn between the New Deal and what is happening now, the
mm-hmm.
stimulus package. So please call now, 888-202-2552, or go online at WPR.org and help us reach that goal of $5,000. We're still about $3,000 shy. So please be the next person to go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We'd like for you to make a habit of supporting, donating to Wisconsin Public Radio. Renew your support every year. It's a great habit, one you can be proud of, and you can get it started with your pledge online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. What a marvelous hour. This book, you take it from me. We look at a lot of books. This is an important book to have in your library. And plus, Harvey calls us and tells us about Congressman David Obey, who really wrote the stimulus package, being in northern Wisconsin, talking about the money that's in the stimulus to go for the arts. I mean, that's our audience. Those are people who are listening to us. So it doesn't get better than that. This is really important radio, I think. 888-202-2552. Help us reach that goal. 888-202-2552.
And when you look at other broadcast media, they really only take less than a minute to tell a story. But here on Wisconsin Public Radio, we give you the whole story, an hour-long conversation. And we didn't even want the hour to be up at the end of the hour. So please help keep this kind of programming on the air and help these conversations continue. After the hour is done, you can get a copy of the book. You can give it away as a gift. Keep the conversations like this happening each and every day and for months to come. Pledge your support now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I can't stress enough that we only have a few more minutes left this hour. Your chance to get a copy of this book. we're still about $3,000 away from our overall goal of $5,000.
I guarantee you this is an important book for your family, too. I haven't done this yet, but I will soon with my son. It's a way to learn about, because there are pictures all over the book and also a wonderful script. But the pictures really tell the story of the Depression and what was happening during the New Deal.
You just flipped open to Migrant Mother, the famous Dorothea Lange photograph.
Right, gorgeous.
This book has hundreds of their
yes, it's really
photographs like
it's
those.
A good and a good teaching thing to look at the pictures with your children and remember what people went through, because we're going through difficult times now as well. So only for the next few minutes you'll be able to get this for $180 pledge, the New Deal, a 75th anniversary celebration. Our number again for your pledge is 888-202-2552, or please try WPR.org, WPR.org.
That's right. Make a habit of donating to Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't be one of those things that you notice every day, but you take for granted. Please pledge your support today. Renew that membership each and every year. It's a good habit, and it's one of those habits that you can be proud of. Get it started today with your pledge online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. And again, we're going to need calls. You can keep pledging through the break. This hour only, you're going to have a chance to get Catherine Flynn's copy of A New Deal, the anniversary edition.
Yes. And speaking of things taken for granted, you think about the New Deal in Social Security, bank deposit insurance, dam projects that transformed countryside and cities, park monuments, Civil War battlefields, 360, that's the fact of the day, during the New Deal. I mean, it's amazing what happened in this country during that time. Just amazing. So learn more about it. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
That's right. And help us reach that goal again.
Yes.
One more time, of $5,000. We're still about $2,500 away.
We ought to be able to do it. So
keep those phone calls ringing. Keep going online, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
All right.
888-202-2552.
Thank you, Rhonda. Rhonda Fanning, our producer. We thank her for producing this hour. And thanks to Rob Schroeder and Lisa Nevlandian for all their help this morning and for all of your calls. Thanks, everybody. Let's get to the goal. 888-202-2552. We're at 2,400. We need 2,600. Don't miss this book. It's worth your while.
We need 5,000.
All right.